Well, together we made it through a Monday. Come on, children, gather around for some more truth on this Tuesday. It is the 14th of September, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. So America seems to hate Joe Biden. Rasmussen's most recent poll has him at a whopping 52% disapproval. And he's even hitting 50% in these other skewed, biased, fake news polls. And those numbers keep going up. But why would America hate Joe Biden? Just take a look around at all the greatness happening in this country. Take Afghanistan, for example. Biden turned the necessary withdrawal into an unnecessary calamity and international humiliation on a world stage. How about his COVID policies? Well, those started with insane mask mandates, including for school children, by the way, at zero risk. And now he's moved to a completely unconstitutional vaccine mandate. This is all great. His tech policy to silence any objection to the installed regime's dictatorial policies, or by the way, any questions about the 2020 election, and then in turn to let Google and Facebook run amok. To control your life, to control what you see, what you hear, what you read, how you think. His border plan to have no plan and no border. His education plan summed up as quite simple. Critical race theory. So is his infrastructure plan. Seriously, Biden's plan to fix racism includes tearing up highways in New Orleans and Syracuse, New York, that his administration says were racist when they were built. Biden's plan for the military? Well, that's all CRT too. Why fight foreign enemies when you can study white rage and declare that the greatest enemy of America is patriots who signed up to die, make the ultimate sacrifice right here in this country? But of course, when we blame Biden for all of these things, we're actually blaming the people around him who make the real decisions. Because Joe Biden himself is not there. He's a puppet in severe cognitive decline, falling asleep during international meetings, spilling soup on himself and forgetting where he is. So Biden, the puppet president, is a disaster. Removing him should be easy. But who's getting pushed as an alternative? Well, right now, the GOP's leaders in Congress are still Kevin McCarthy, the man I told you about yesterday, who has fewer testicles than Liz Cheney, and of course, Mitch McConnell, the turtle lord. So who's behind them? Well, Fox News is trying to promote Marco Rubio as the GOP's future, just like they've been doing for the past decade. And what do we get from Marco Rubio over the past decade? Well, he worked really hard with Senator Chuck Schumer to pass the Gang of Eight amnesty bill in 2013, The other three Republicans working on that bill? John McCain, Jeff Flake, and Lindsey Graham. Which should tell you everything you need to know right there about the quality of that bill. Then in 2016, when the base made it clear how they felt about amnesty, Rubio tried to claim that the bill was never intended to pass. He was just messing with all of us, you see. Just being a little trickster. And he thinks you're all dumb enough to believe that. Sure, he endorsed Donald Trump at the last minute in 2016, and then tried to act like a firm supporter. It was all fake. He was a committed supporter of the fraudulent Russia investigation, which in 2017 he said should be full, thorough, and credible. Then having said that, he sat there and let de facto Democrat Richard Burr lead the media and lead the American people on a wild goose chase that squandered the most critical period of Donald Trump's presidency. And what did little Marco get for turning a blind eye to the Russia hoax investigation? He got to be the chairman of that committee when Burr stepped aside due to an investigation of his corrupt stock trades. Then, after the 2020 election, Rubio abandoned the president. When Democrats debuted their novel strategy of taking a week to count votes in every contested state, Rubio tweeted that, quote, taking days to count legally cast votes is not fraud. When President Trump was fighting in the courts to contest the election outcome, Rubio stood aside, just cryptically tweeted about America's government being a den of thieves. His reward was to have outlets like Newsweek praise him and call him a 2024 frontrunner in front of the American public. If that's actually the case, we only have ourselves to blame. Because we are the Republican Party base. And there's no chance that Marco Rubio should be considered a frontrunner for 2024. But there's also no chance that any of us consider Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy to be our ideological leaders either, yet they're still forced down our throat by Fox, by Newsweek, by Newsmax, all of them, year after year after year after year. And this is how it has to be. During the Trump years, you might have been told to trust the plan. Well, right, I'm here to tell you. The truth is, if there's a plan at all, it isn't meant to help us. But in all likelihood, there is no plan. It's just castrated Republican leaders like little Kevin McCarthy trying to cling to control as long as they can until they either die or cash in as a lobbyist. Same thing, really. Mitch, Kevin, and little Marco are not the plan. The military is not the plan. This isn't Lord of the Rings where the Rohirrim arrive at dawn on the third day to save everybody. No one's going to sweep Donald Trump or a worthy successor back into the White House for us. That's not the plan. We are the plan. And to turn this country around, ordinary Americans have to speak out. And thankfully, it's easier for ordinary Americans to do this now more than ever. That's why we're able to have this show. Before the internet, the Stu Peters Show couldn't exist. 50 years ago, Americans with something to say tried to contact the local radio show, or they went to a city council meeting. Today, any American can speak to the entire country whenever they want. And that's happening as individuals and as huge groups. If you tuned into any college football games over the weekend, there's a good chance you saw this new chant regardless of what team you were watching.
Joe Biden!
And it's not just huge crowds at football games. Any person brave enough to speak the raw, unfiltered truth in these times has the chance to become the star of the moment. Because when they speak out, they say what almost all of us are thinking. They're parroting the conversations that Americans are having at their dinner tables. Author Megan McGlover has been the latest to prove that. When President Biden announced his illegal vaccine mandate last week, she had this to say on her TikTok.
Fool talking about my patience is wearing thin. Who the f*** are you talking to? As long as your patience don't get as thin as that hairline, I think we'll be all right. I am not your child. And I'm sure enough ain't your. You're talking about your patience is wearing thin. These people have lost. They acting like they, you know what I'm saying? Like they paying your bills and you down. You got to watch. You fool. I saw that little clip. I said, oh, he's crazy. He really think I'm his hoe. My patience is wearing thin. I need you to get out on that boulevard and bring me my money. You ain't my pimp. What the hell is wrong with these people? He really said that out of his mouth. But our patience is wearing thin. You bald head. See?
Well, needless to say, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people have seen that clip by now because it resonates with people. These are the conversations that we're all having. And after seeing that clip, I knew that I had to speak with Megan McGlover directly, and she joins us now. I'm sorry that I got your name wrong at first. Megan McGlover. So yes. You, this thing has blown up on TikTok, rightfully so. Did you ever imagine that we would be seeing times like these in this supposedly free America?
Absolutely not. This is beyond any type of rational thinking, any type of logical thinking. If you were to talk to a five-year-old child, a five-year-old child wouldn't understand what's going on, because even in that stage of life, you know what you want and you know how to choose what you want, even as a five-year-old. So no one wants someone to say to them, you have to do it the way that I want you to do it. Or if you don't do it this way, of course, we bring up all the time when Biden says, if you don't vote for me, then you ain't black. You know, this type of thing like that is the biggest level of segregation, and this authoritative, you know, do what I tell you to do is absolutely ridiculous. It is, and that's why I was saying in the video, like, who are you talking to? Like what has happened where you think that you can have a conversation? Well, it's not even a conversation, it's a dictatorship, where you think you can monopolize my life and my household and what I do in my own shell of a being. It's gotten crazy.
Yeah, he said, go get your shot and bring me back my money.
Right. Like, just you go out there and hook. And then, you know, because that's my that's obviously mine. Yo, that's my body, my breath. This, with so many people because it is that ludicrous. You know, it's just that, like, wait a minute, what did he say? Like, what? Like, who are you talking to? We have, was it North Korea that doesn't let you search the web and look at certain things? We here in America used to always say, oh, we would never allow it. We would never. Oh, can I cuss?
That's all right. That's fine. We got it. We caught it.
Yeah, beat that. We would never allow that crap. You know, we wouldn't allow that to have, you know, oh, never for us. And look at what's happening. So it's so interesting that you mentioned TikTok. My other video that went viral where I was talking about abortion and my cure for abortion is basically don't have sex with people that you don't want to have kids with, and you don't have to worry about, you know, accidents, so forth, so on. And so that went viral as well. Actually, it's gotten more views than this, the Biden response video. TikTok took it down.
Of course they did.
They took it down because it goes against bullying or something like that.
It goes against the destruction of the nuclear family structure, which is exactly what they're trying to do right now, which is a direct reflection. If you were watching the VMAs the other night, this is encouraging everybody to have sex with everybody. It didn't matter if you want to have kids with them or not, or whether or not you're protected. As a matter of fact, they were promoting homosexual sex right out in the middle of the wide open in front of an audience of children, of kids. I mean, my kids, I had to pull away from the VMAs the other night when those things were on. It's disgusting. It's satanic. It's demonic.
And you know what's so interesting, Stu, and so many people are just flabbergasted when they find this out about me. I am a lesbian. I'm actually a lesbian. But me being a lesbian does not in any way, and it should not in any way, affect a nucleus understanding of conservatism. I still love families. I still love God. I still love the right to choose, the right to go to church if that's what you want to do. Whatever it is that you want to do, I believe in the right to do so. Just like I believe in the right to fall in love with a female if that's what I choose to do. So the problem that people have with me is they're like, wait a minute, she's Black, she's a female, and she's a lesbian, and she's conservative? How is this possible? Yeah, because I'm not stupid. That's how.
That's not allowed.
I'm not so enthralled in this idea that oh, it has to be like this. Why would you not want your child to have a father or your child to have a mother? Why would you not want that? It doesn't make any sense to me. Just because I'm in love with a female doesn't mean that Stu's children should have to constantly see lesbians on the TV kissing and shit and tonguing and all. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see it. Just because I'm in love with someone, that's my life and my business. I don't want to see any type of lewd sexual activity, regardless of what I like to do in my personal life.
Exactly.
It's just not right in general.
That's why they have doors on bedrooms. The doors on the bedrooms shut when things like that happen. It's not meant for wide broadcast. I just have about 30 seconds left here. Are you going to get this inoculation? Are you going to get the COVID shot?
Oh, no.
You're not.
No, I'm not.
And are you not getting it because you've been told, you've been instructed, or are you not getting it for other reasons in about 30 seconds?
I'm not getting it because I've done the research. The research shows that even with the shot, a lot of people are getting infected. So okay. It doesn't make any sense for me to get something where it's not preventing when I could just keep doing what I've been doing, which has in fact prevented me from getting it all this time.
Well,
so
you
it doesn't
also
make any sense.
You also keep doing what you're doing out there in the social media world, Megan McGlover, because you're making a difference and you're speaking out. And that is exactly what Americans need to do right now. It resonates. And I congratulate you and applaud you on all of that. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Sue. I appreciate you. Love you so much.
Love you. Bye-bye. One of my favorite conversations since I've started this show, Megan McGlover. I guarantee if you follow that woman on TikTok, you will not be left without content. Wow, she's stepping all over these snakes. You can too. Go to steponsocks.com right now. The classic version, these things are brilliant. They're going to be hanging in the Patriot Museum someday with the history books are reading and big headlines, Patriots defeat tyrants once again. And the names of some of these globalists written right on the bottom, the classic version, for example, Clinton, Obama, Fauci, Gates, Biden, Pelosi. There are Whitmer ones out there. There's Cuomo ones at steponsocks.com. You got to get over there. steponsocks.com. My favorite is the Trust in God sock. So get over to StepOnSocks.com, find your favorite three-pack for just $17.76, or if you like silver, sure, Step On Socks sells physical silver as well as Second Amendment flags. We know how important that is. Go to StepOnSocks.com right now. Get huge discounts when you mention Stu Peters at StepOnSocks.com. Well, as far as I know, this is the only platform giving a voice to real frontline heroes, nurses, doctors, any healthcare workers that wish to come forward. I would encourage you to enlist as soldiers in this real war that we're in the middle of right now. These communists have propagandized the fake lying media. And these shameful, complicit hacks over at places like Newsweek, CNN, Fox News, USA Today, Lead Stories, and the rest of these globalist-funded liars have been feeding you and your family, your kids, with dangerous information while calling us radical conspiracy theorists since the beginning. But we were right, and we're being vindicated every day. We didn't and won't stop because we care about our fellow citizens. I'm deeply concerned for you, my brothers and sisters in humanity. I'm serious. And it intrigues me to anticipate what these so-called fact checkers, these writers who've falsely assumed the title of the arbiters of truth, will say when the real truth comes out. Real people, thousands of them. One of them is joining us now. She's a respiratory therapist who says a group of 400 nurses have given her the opportunity, appointing her to speak on their behalf. All of them are about to be fired because they've seen firsthand the dangers of this injection being falsely called an approved vaccine, and they're refusing to subject themselves to that unnecessary danger. Angela joins us now. Angela, thank you so much for bravely coming forward. The platform is yours. Tell us what's really going on.
Well, it's where do you start is the question. Where do you start with what's really going on? The hospital that we're working in right now, it's like walking into a war zone. At the moment, we are bracing ourselves every time we walk through those doors, not knowing what we're going to be faced with hostility from the doctors, hostility from the nurses, from other staff members, from executives. You know, it's just day to day trying to understand what's going on in the hospital. We've all witnessed firsthand with what these so-called vaccines are doing to our patients. And we've also, you know, it's completely confusing because we're dealing with COVID patients too, on top of the vaccine injuries. So it's hard to determine what's what at this point.
Are any of the COVID patients that your hospital is seeing, are any of them fully vaccinated?
Well, see, and that's the discrepancy right now is our hospital. So the nurses are asking our patients, you know, are you vaccinated? And some, and the patients are coming back, yes, I'm fully vaccinated, but the records show differently. And I know that our hospital, you know, they're getting a vaccine at this location and they're getting a vaccine at this other location. And it's not somehow getting into the system that they are fully vaccinated. So there's a discrepancy with who's vaxxed and who's unvaxxed at this point.
Interesting. That's a first for me. I've not heard that one yet. What type of vaccine injuries are you seeing and how many of them?
You know, I'm a respiratory therapist, so I'm throughout the whole hospital. I work in the emergency room. I work in ICU. I work in step down units. I work in NICU. I work out through the whole hospital. And you know, you go from hearing two strokes a week, we have a code white that goes over the overhead, to six code whites a night, which is stroke. That's an indicative of stroke. So you're seeing a lot of stroke victims, a lot of MIs, myocardial infarctions, pulmonary embolisms, a lot of PEs. Usually you see maybe one or two PEs a week. And now, you know, you're seeing a couple, few a day. We actually made the comment a few months ago, like, what's up with all these stroke patients? You know, we didn't really put a reason to what was going on. We just accepted it.
Are you asking, or is anybody asking these patients, the uptick in stroke patients, myocardial infarction, are they being asked, are you inoculated? Did you get vaccinated?
No.
Why?
Nobody's asking those questions.
Don't you think that would be one of the first things to ask? I mean,
You would think so.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, the doctors don't correlate any of this with the vaccine because they're safe and effective, right? So it's all being missed. Okay. And when the nurses are coming forward and saying, well, this sounds like a vaccine injury, the doctors are scoffing at them. And so I know that there is a complaint with the labor industry, and somebody listed our executive on that complaint stating that they are suppressing information. So, but I don't know what has happened with that complaint yet. But there's definitely complaints going on.
Well, we know that the president, the fake president, has told OSHA to actively hide and cover up vaccine injuries of employees. I mean, employers are being told that they are now allowed to commit this abuse and mandate these things. So you've got, 400 people that you're speaking on behalf of. They're all about to be fired.
Yes.
You're choosing not to take this inoculation along with those 400 individuals who, by the way, we were instructed to and did hail you as heroes, frontline heroes. You were working in the midst of this thing from the beginning when nobody really knew what this was before we realized that this was a virus that boasts a 99.98% recovery survival rate. And so there was a lot of panic originally. You guys were working without the proper PPE. You were working without a vaccine. And now that this thing has rolled out, 400 people have said, at minimum, at your facility, we're not going to do this. Why? Why are you not going to take this thing?
Well, to start with, I have my own coworker that has a horrible vaccine injury. And this is one of the reasons why I'm starting to have this platform. I told her I would be speaking out for her because she doesn't have a voice. But she had COVID. The doctor recommended that she get vaccinated. She got the shot. And now a week later, she's completely debilitated. So this was happened in, I believe, February. And she's been hospitalized at least 5 times since then. Guillain Barre, she has mental fog. She can't even drive a car more than 15 minutes without getting confused and where she's at. She can't walk 15 feet without shortness of breath. She was a 46-year-old, full-functioning respiratory therapist to where she'll probably never work again.
These are the exact side effects that we have been warning about in association with these mRNA, I don't even want to call them vaccines. That's not what they are. Mm-hmm. They're killing people at an alarming rate. I mean, we keep saying it on this program, nearly 14,000. Today it may be over 14,000. I don't know. But there are an unprecedented amount of people dead. And the media just continues to ignore all of it.
And why aren't we hearing these victims come up and talk? They're being suppressed by their stories right now.
Well, they have a platform here.
She's been trying to talk her story, but nobody's listening to it.
I will. I absolutely will. And like I said, we will not stop. It's really difficult for fact checkers to deny your personal experience. You are a respiratory... How long have you been working, by the way, as a healthcare professional?
I've been in the healthcare system for 20 years.
Have you ever seen anything like this? I mean...
No. I can't even believe we're discussing this right now in America and how... It just blows my mind.
If there was this amount of people were being injured, incapacitated, debilitated, handicapped, or dead as a result of anything else, this would have been stopped long ago. 26 people died during the swine flu vaccine rollout. They halted it. They stopped it. They pulled it immediately.
Right.
Dr. Jane Ruby, who's a regular contributor on this program, herself stopped a trial after 6 beagle dogs died because that was inhumane. We're talking about 14,000 people, and that's documented by the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, which we're told by a Harvard study only reflects 1% of actual injuries and deaths. It's absurd. I've got about a minute left here. What are your final words? What do you want everybody to know from somebody who sees this stuff firsthand?
Well, you know, I'm coming from my heart. And I'm not coming from, you know, statistics. We already know all the statistics.
That's
we
right.
really do know all the statistics. Yeah. But I'm coming from my heart. And I just want to save humanity. That's where I'm at. I want to save lives. I have to work tonight. And I don't even want to go through those front doors because I feel like I'm not contributing to saving lives right now. And so, you know, I leave you with this, that when good men do nothing, they get nothing good done. you know? And so please stand strong and fight this battle. We're in a warfare right now, and we need to all stand together and unite.
Yeah. And I don't know what these doctors, what these providers, if this is cognitive dissonance, if they just don't know, or if they know, which is more than likely, and they're still choosing to participate in it. And I want to get to the bottom of why. How are these doctors being compensated? Why are they in lockstep with this thing that is killing so many people? And when you said that you want to save lives and you don't feel like you are, I have to correct you. You're doing that right now. By you speaking out, by you using your voice, by you grabbing a hold of your spinal fortitude, having a backbone and being brave enough to enlist in as a soldier in the army of war right now, there's a war on information, an information war happening right now. You are saving lives, because the people that you are going to reach today talking on this platform, from your perspective, people have to take it seriously. You're there. You see it firsthand. And God bless you for your bravery. And thank you so much for coming forward. We appreciate it. And you will be in our prayers while you're at work tonight and every night.
Thank you, Stu. Thank you.
My heart just breaks for people like Angela and her coworkers and all of you that are going through this at your place of employment. You healthcare workers are on my mind, heavy on my heart constantly. And you know, Angela off the record told me and told me that I'm allowed to talk about this. She has a 44-year-old father, a father of three triplets, who was denied an ECMO treatment because he's unvaccinated. And a J&J recipient goes ahead of him, takes his spot in line. And so now this 44-year-old father of triplets, because he made choices after his own health, exercised his freedom to say, no, you know, that's just not for me right now. And as a result of it, could lose his life. Those three kids could lose their father. What's going on in this country is absolutely insane. I want to tell you about something that I have been doing. It's a heavy metal detox, and I'm using this Pure Body Extra. And I'm using this Pure Body Extra. This is the advanced daily cellular detox. You spray this in your mouth, four squirts, three times a day. There's heavy metals and toxins all over the place. The number of toxins that we come into contact with on a daily basis is unbelievable. And if you go to poisondetox.com, you'll see all of those statistics. So I'm encouraging you, I'm not mandating you, I'm encouraging you to go do the research on your own and then make a decision after your own health for yourself. Go to poisondetox.com. But I'm after 2 weeks of taking this stuff, I reached out to these people. I asked them if I could introduce this to my audience and if a discount could be provided to my audience. And they agreed to give you this bottle, $5, $5 bottles, your first bottle if you sign up for auto ship. And they said that I could only do it for this week. Look, I'm not looking to get rich off of this. I'm not looking to grift. I'm looking to help you out. So we talk about Z-Stack, but I want to introduce you to this. This is the detox that I am using, that I really believe in. You can go do the research for yourself. $5 is an unbelievable deal. $5 for your first bottle if you put the product on auto ship. And I think you will after you go research it at poisondetox.com. More of the Stu Peters Show right now. Well, the fake FDA approval is designed to empower the propagandist media into making you believe that these injections are safe and effective. And it's not fooling healthcare workers who are seeing and now coming forward, blowing the whistle on the jab and the horrific adverse events, the injuries and the deaths that they are seeing firsthand. As a result of the dangerous inoculation that has killed almost double the amount of people as every previously introduced vaccine combined, and has done so in just a short period of time, less than a year. Tracy Jaros has been a nurse for over three decades and was just put on unpaid leave, separated from her company after refusing the shot, despite providing documents proving that she had COVID antibodies and was immune to the virus. Tracy said that she's had it with the hospital administration perpetrating this fraud. She's seen Medicare scandals. She's seen behind-the-scene payouts. And she joins us now. Tracy, thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it.
Good morning, Stu, and I'm very happy to be here, sir.
So we've been reporting on the incessant push for this jab, speculating that fraud and payoffs, backroom deals have been arranged upon or agreed upon by hospital administrators and insurance companies. Are these wild conspiracy theories?
No, sir. I think that every person that comes in the hospital, they're going to want to give a COVID test, symptomatic or not. You've got COVID, you've got COVID. Cha-ching.
Wow. So you have the antibodies, But despite that, your employer separated your employment, took away your pay, and said, we're not going to consider that to be immunity, even though you have the immunity to this world-ending plague, the product marketed as COVID-19.
Yes.
To that, why? I mean, what do you say to that?
I have been working, doing my job for the last 1 year, wearing my mask, having testing, being separated. The rules they're making at my company would not even allow me to eat food in my building because I am unvaccinated and not safe.
You couldn't eat food in the building because you're not vaccinated?
No, sir. Those are the new rules coming down.
Okay.
I can't even go in to the office. I am unemployed.
So in the hospital setting, are administrators running healthcare or are care providers determining the care that patients need?
That's a very good question, Stu. From the slice of my perspective of the people that I've been following, there is a trend coming through and they're finally starting to use the drugs that have been recommended, but it's taken them an awfully long time to get there. There are no rules. There have been no rules this entire time. Use ivermectin, use hydrochloroquine. There are no rules. This has been America winging healthcare for the last year and a half. Now we're finally starting to get some control, and God bless the doctors for charting vaccinated, unvaccinated, because now, sir, they can be tracked. The doctors themselves, God bless them, letting everybody know that the vaccinated people are now populating the hospitals.
Okay.
And very sick.
So that is another thing that we have been reporting on recently, is that a lot of the people that are so-called COVID positive patients have been, quote, fully vaccinated. Now, I want to qualify this real quick, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong or what you know about this. But we have been told that this FDA approval is a sleight of hand, that the approved drug, the approved shot, the approved inoculation, so-called COVID vaccine, is not even in production and won't be until 2023, making this mandated injection an actual experimental vaccine that has been extended as an emergency use authorized jab. It's the Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson shots that we have seen causing all of these adverse events. Is that right?
That is exactly correct, sir. And I am calling it an experimental biological agent because there is no vaccine in sight. COVID-19 is not the first COVID. We had COVID-2. We've had COVID-1. They've tried to make a vaccine and failed. This was years ago. It's not possible. This is a virus. I'm a baby boomer. I was born in the 60s. I had the mumps. I remember the mumps. It hurt like hell. And I am now immune. My age group, we are phasing out. We're the last generation that has immunity to smallpox, measles, mumps, chickenpox, all these things. We are being phased out. And that's a problem because that's the way I grew up. We had chickenpox. I'm now immune. We had measles. We had mumps. That's the way this works. There is no immunity to a virus. It runs its course. You get over it or you die. And you're not dying from the virus. You're dying from your comorbidities, your obesity, your diabetes, your secondary problems. 99.8% of people 20 and younger will survive this disease. I have the statistics right here. It's crazy that these things are out here. Between the ages of 20 and 49, 99.98 survival rate, sir. 50 to 65, 99.5% survival rate. Above 70, you're at 95%. This is just a virus. What is going to get you are your underlying conditions.
And in a lot of cases, the treatment that we're hearing, the remdesivir, the ventilators, these things are killing people. Remdesivir is poisonous. It's toxic.
I hadn't even heard of remdesivir. I've been a nurse for 32 years. And when this started coming around, I thought, shoot, I got to look this up. I really had never even heard of it. So I did. And that's where my research started. Because here's a drug that I've never heard before. And golly, this is killing people. We'd better look into this a little bit.
Yeah. And when you do look it up, you'll find that Tony Fauci was behind an Ebola study where remdesivir was used. It was a one-year study. Remdesivir was kicked out after just 6 months because it was the leading death causer of all of the treatments that they were testing during this trial. Because it caused renal failure, kidney shutdown, and that's what's happening in these hospitals as well. I have about 45 seconds left here. And first of all, thank you for your bravery in coming forward. We really appreciate it. And we're deeply sorry for this separation. And it's completely nonsensical. We're living in extraordinary times. But I wanted to ask you, you're seeing, or before you were gone, you were seeing firsthand the amount of vaccine injuries. Are there a lot of them? I mean, are people experiencing dangerous adverse side effects from these inoculations?
You know, all you have to do as a concerned American is to go to the VAERS site, V-A-E-R-S. And it's available to everybody. And there are thousands and thousands of injured people. Well, see, in medicine, when you become a nurse, the very first thing you learn is cause no harm. The second thing you learn is if someone doesn't want you to touch them, that's assault. So you can't touch them. My body is my personal property. And to allow something that is experimental, biological, that is not allowed. And I have never heard of any company making this part of an employment package. Golly, I just don't want it.
Yeah. Tracy Jaros, God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. And we'll be praying for you.
Thank you.
You heard the numbers from Tracy. It doesn't take an RN or a healthcare professional for you to discover these numbers on your own. The numbers that the media is hiding from you, we have been reporting on here ad nauseum since the beginning of this, the COVID survival recovery rate. 99.98, you heard her, between the ages of 20 and 49 years old. That puts the majority of us in that category. And as we talked about yesterday, people over 80 years old still have an 80% chance of making it through this, over 80 years old. Kids are at virtually no risk. There are things that you can do to stay healthy. Go to ZStackProtocol.com. Dr. Zev Zelenko recognized that early treatment and preventative prophylaxis was the way to stay healthy amid all of these chimerically engineered, seemingly intentionally released laboratory viruses. And you can do that using quercetin, zinc, D, and a lot of other things that he has included in one capsule that you take twice a day. Dr. Zev Zelenko is a genius who saved thousands of lives in upstate New York. He's a Nobel Prize nominee, Presidential Medal of Freedom nominee, and there's a reason for that. 99.9% survival rate among the high-risk COVID patients that he treated. You want to stay healthy and you want to trust him? I do. I take it. Go to ZStackProtocol.com. This is my daily PSA reminder. Go to ZStackProtocol.com. Again, ZStackProtocol.com. More of the Stu Peters Show right now. Well, an extremely emotional week in Chicago left us saying goodbye to Veronica Wolski, best known for her signage over the Kennedy Expressway on the People's Bridge. Wolski became the center of controversy when she was denied the medical treatment being requested by her power of attorney, Nancy Ross, who joins us now. Nancy, I know that it's been a really emotional couple of weeks, specifically the last 24 hours. So I want to thank you for coming here to talk with us today. We know that you didn't have to do that.
Thank you, Stu, very much. And thank you to your audience and all those really around the world who have been fighting for Veronica. Veronica always said, never be silent. You know, never quit, never give up. Yeah. And she fought to the very end. She had a prescription for ivermectin at home. She'd been requesting to the hospital if she could bring that. My understanding is that was denied. But I'll back up first. She became sick. She thought she had a sinus infection. She tested positive for COVID, went home. and 2 days later had shortness of breath and went to the hospital. Very quickly, she was put on high levels of oxygen, is my understanding, and they began remdesivir. She called me. She told me she didn't want the medicine. I don't want this. I want them out. I had multiple texts from her saying, get me out of here. Get me home. Bring me oxygen. Get medical transport. Take me out. I didn't know what was going on. I tried to contact family and friends and was assured that they were following frontline protocols and that she would be getting some of the treatments she really wanted. It was all very confusing, very disturbing. I finally told her, I'm coming to Chicago and I'll help however I can. She asked me then to be her POA so we could arrange to have aftercare for her, to get her out and to get her aftercare. And there were so many roadblocks over the next 10 days. It was very difficult. And security escorted me out of the building multiple times after I'd been invited in. After day two, they told me I was no longer allowed in the hospital period. I asked what policy I'd violated, what had I done wrong. I was there to advocate for her. We sent a demand letter to the hospital with 17 different demands, and we were really trying to work with them, but it was clear that Veronica was being denied some treatments, even some food and nutrition that we had to beg for over many, many days.
It seems like she was denied every human right that were inherently promised as Americans. Why did they ever give you an answer on why you were not allowed to be there advocating for her?
They told me after the second day that Veronica's of sound mind. Everyone always assured me, and she is a warrior, as everyone knows, for truth and justice and freedom. She knows her rights. She was advising them on what, you know, she thought could work best for her and pleading with them. They said she can speak for herself, that I didn't need to be there and the further conversations would be with her. Now, I understand, you know, my rights at the time were to help her. I had called for a patient conference for multiple days. Finally, after 4 days, I walked in and they had maybe 8 representatives from the hospital system there to speak with me. And some of our just even basic concerns just were not met. And we had private duty nurses who were available to go in and just be caretakers, just to sit with her in isolation. You know, as you know, the many COVID patients, you know, they're isolated. And after 10 days and certainly after 20 days, we felt like it's time for her to stop being secluded. At a minimum, she needed loved ones, family, friends, and nurses who could at least just care for her and be with her, hold her hand and try to advocate for her. But that was denied as well.
I just can't wrap my head around any of this. It's that this is happening in America. And if the justification for removing you was that Veronica Wolski could speak for herself, then why was it that her demands, her requests that she was speaking for herself were not honored and fell on deaf ears? And she was denied the right to try. She was denied the ability to make freedom choices after her own health. I mean, I don't understand how they can get away. This is criminal. This is absolutely criminal by every sense of the word.
On day two, when I was there, so she would have been in the hospital at that point, I believe well over a week, I was able to meet with a very kind infectious disease doctor overseeing her care, and he agreed to prescribe the ivermectin. Again, even though she had a prescription at home from a different doctor, he agreed to prescribe it in the hospital. We were thrilled. We thought we had a real advocate there. And then hours later, he was overruled by the AMITA system, who said they are following NIH protocols. And an ethics committee met. We demanded an ethics committee conference. They met without us. We didn't have a chance to present what we believe was some solid case study. There also had been a court ruling in nearby Elmhurst where a hospital was ordered to give a patient their ivermectin. My understanding is that patient came out of a coma after 20 days and is home now playing with her grandkids. Veronica knew this, and she knew that there was hope, and that was denied. She also wanted to be transferred. She wanted to come home on hospice. They told her oxygen needs were so high she couldn't leave the hospital. We felt we had found medical transport to meet her oxygen needs. We had a team ready to care for her, and it seemed it was blocked at every turn.
Forgive my ignorance on this, but isn't there such a thing as AMA, against medical advice, that a patient is always afforded the right to just leave, to walk out. I mean, they're not in jail. She's not being held in custody. She hasn't been charged with a crime. And certainly nurses and doctors are not law enforcement, but it seems that they have this unilateral, unchecked authority over patients once they come in and are determined to be COVID patients.
Right. We were told she wouldn't have oxygen or may not have oxygen to walk out. I said, well, we would have it. And by the end, they said, no medical transport company, no one will take her because she was so unstable at that point. The needs were so dire.
But had somebody that would take her, correct?
We had an ambulance that said they had the needs that she required. And they said they needed authorization from the hospital to release her. And we also had a nurse practitioner who was prescribing medications to her ready on the outside. And many doctors, lawyers, I was blessed to have just a really incredible team around me because I'm not a medical expert. I'm her friend. I've been friends with her for some time. And she asked for help. I'm just speechless.
You had an ambulance rather that was prepared and ready to take her. You had a practitioner that was prescribing the medications that Veronica Wolski was requesting. All that needed to happen was for authorization from the hospital for her to be released to that equipped ambulance who said that they were capable of caring for her, and that authorization never came.
It did not. They said, we just don't release her to anybody. We need to know who is the name of this hospice company. Who is it? Who is it? And I did not give the name. I said, I need to know the proper procedures at the hospital. Who do I talk to for her release? And the end of the conversation, it was, they're not in till Monday morning at 9. I said, she may not make it till Monday. And she didn't. I just have so many questions.
And when you get answers to those questions, would you please come back? Because
absolutely,
millions of people have the same questions and demand answers on, you know,
they do. If I can help at all, Stu, some very kind people have reached out and said, you know, maybe this will work. You know, initially, when they inform you of the risks of a certain medication like ivermectin, which, by the way, is issued to other patients at Amita for other conditions. It's just not part of their protocol for COVID. It's not banned. It's just not part of their protocol. OK, so when they present you with the risks, you say, I now have informed consent. Thank you very much. I demand to try this. I demand this medication. Then give them a window, maybe just 48 hours. If you want to try budesonide, just 48 hours to open up my lungs so I can breathe. Waive responsibility to the hospital for that medication if you have to. You know, not everyone can get lawyers and doctors involved when you're fighting for your life. Go through those steps. I mean, if you have to go to court, and then I was told you can fire your attending physician. Tell them you want to fire your attending physician in the ICU and have that person replaced immediately until you can find someone who will listen to you. Now, this isn't Wild West medications we're talking about. These are, you know, these are some basic things that have proven results, is my understanding, to help heal COVID patients and heal them much more quickly than a ventilator.
Yeah. So proven that they have earned a Nobel Prize for saving human life.
Exactly.
And they are FDA approved, unlike the remdesivir that is part of the NIH protocol, which we think we know why that is happening as well. Horrific. Really appreciate your courage and for you, as emotional as it must be, pulling yourself together in order to come here and answer some of these basic questions. And we hope to hear more from you as you get answers to the many questions that you no doubt have.
Thank you, Stu, and God bless all those who are fighting and all those families who are affected. We're praying for you, and Veronica did not die in vain.
God bless you, Nancy. And no, she did not. Her voice will be heard. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you thought that these FEMA camps were going to be the killing fields, it turns out it's actually our hospitals. One guy that is confronting these hospital CEOs, these administrators, these big pharma companies, pharmacists, school boards is Christopher Key. He is the founder of Vaccine Police. I support this guy. And this is my PSA. This is my request of you that if you have anything at all to give to the Vaccine Police, that you support his efforts. We have to hold these people accountable. And he is one person with boots on the ground that's doing this. He's been at the border. He's been all over the country. He's on the road right now. He is doing everything he can to physically be there in the face of these people representing Americans who embrace their freedom and individual liberties. So please, if you have time, go to vaccine-police.com or make the time. Go to vaccine-police.com and give whatever you can to the vaccine police. The Stu Peters Show continues right now. Well, Americans are witnessing the unthinkable in our hospitals and our healthcare systems around the country as patients seem to be held hostage by doctors driven by a political machine rather than the upholding of an oath. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet, MD, is president and CEO of the public charity Truth for Health Foundation, which can be found at truthforhealth.org, and an independent practicing physician actively treating COVID patients and providing educational programs for patients, community health groups, and health professionals. Dr. Vliet was assisting in the efforts to save the life of Veronica Wolski in Chicago, who passed away without ever being provided the treatment she or her advocates were requesting. And Dr. Vliet joins us now. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu. I'm honored to be able to help in getting the horror out to the public of what happened to Veronica Wolski in Resurrection Hospital in Chicago last weekend. Our team was requested by the attorneys to be involved beginning on Wednesday afternoon. On Thursday afternoon, we had a medical care team with critical care ICU doctor, independent critical care nurses, nurses on the ground willing to coordinate her medical care in the setting, delivery capability for high flow oxygen, IV fluids, medications, everything she was being denied in the hospital. Our team had ready by Friday. And at every turn, I was personally involved in helping the patient's power of attorney. Our team was involved and our attorneys were also involved trying to help the patient's power of attorney, whom you'll meet later, who was a warrior for Veronica, help her get the patient released from the prison of this hospital, which it had become. Veronica, I heard, I was conferenced in on a conversation that took place. I heard it. Veronica was asking to be released today, and she was denied. She was pressured into intubation. She refused it. I heard her myself, and she asked for the treatment that her power of attorney was fighting heroically. I heard the doctors deny it. Every single step that the patient requested, that the power of attorney requested, was violated in her legal rights to request treatment. She was denied release, even though the power of attorney made it clear she was being released home to hospice. And the patient knew that she might die at home. She asked to die in freedom, not as a prisoner. And quite frankly, I heard the doctor browbeating the patient's power of attorney on Sunday afternoon saying, well, we can't get hospice here. And that's not our process. And that's not what we do. And I happen to know medically for a fact that what she was telling the power of attorney was not factually correct. Therefore, in my opinion, medically, they willfully denied treatment to this patient. And then the power of attorney learned that afternoon when she finally got into the hospital to see her, that standing outside her door, that they had taken away the IV fluids. And medically, we all know that if you deprive a patient of IV fluids who's already dehydrated, which her laboratory data showed, then they're going to go down quickly. No matter how high flow the oxygen is, you can't deliver it if there's inadequate fluid volume in the bloodstream. And they had not treated a rising white count bacterial pneumonia. I mean, the oversight and the negligence medically was staggering. I have never in my career seen anything as egregious as what our team, our whole team, was witness to from Thursday through Sunday in this situation. And ironically, we were also brought in on other hospital situations in other states in the same time frame. The same talking points were being used with the patients, the same denial of the patient's power of attorney access to the patient. In fact, at one hospital in Arizona, the patient's power of attorney was escorted out of the hospital in handcuffs. This medical tyranny has got to stop, and Truth for Health Foundation is fighting that battle. We have a medical censorship defense fund to help doctors like Dr. McCullough and others who've been sued for speaking out. We will defend patients and their families and their rights to have their power of attorney request honored. And we know our team was guiding the resources on the ground in Illinois to set up an entire mobile unit to take care of this patient. And she was denied leaving the hospital under bogus descriptions from the team there.
This is horrific what you're describing, and I'm sorry, but with TV and radio, I've got hard breaks that I'm coming up against right now. Truthforhealth.org is your website. I encourage everybody to go visit that. Dr. Vliet, thank you so much for being here. I got to go. We really appreciate you coming forward, and I hope to have you back soon. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you. Go to MyPillow.com right now to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. For example, you can get my premium MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now just $29.98, the lowest price ever.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.